time now. You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is your RBLR Rays podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, how are you doing on this Saturday morning?
I am doing good. It's still cold here in the UK. It's always cold now. It's cold forever in the UK. If you don't like the hot weather, then never come here. Wait, other way around. If you don't like the hot weather, always come here. And yeah, I'm kind of feeling a bit of a chill cross over my spine when we're going to talk about the Rays today. I think we might have to make an admission about this 2024 Rays team, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Does it actually rain over there as much as like the fake news media wants us to believe that it rains over there?
Okay, so when I currently live in Manchester, in England, and when I first moved to Manchester, my parents told me, "Hey, Pat, it's gonna rain in Manchester. You need to get an umbrella." And I was like, "How much could it possibly rain?" I'm gonna tell you something, Zach. It's not raining today, but pretty much every other day this week it has rained.
Wow.
It's about anywhere between 4 to 6 days a week it rains.
Now, how do you feel about rain generally?
I'm not a rain guy. And it's not even like, you know, in Florida. You know, when it rains in Florida, it like rains, right? You know about it. Here it's just like it doesn't even go for it. It's like a half cooked drizzle, so they don't even rain with full effort. So I don't know what we're supposed to do. I think anyone that comes over from the US to the UK will instantly know how terrible the weather is, and I think it's a big part of British culture. All we do is we complain about, if we haven't met someone before and we need to make awkward small talk, all we do is complain about the weather to each other, how awful it is. So it's like, if you ever want to bond with a British person, be like, "Oh, this weather's awful, isn't it?" And we'll be like, quite.
Quite. Well, that was weather talk with Pat and Zach. And I hope you enjoyed that. If you're here for the Rays show, that's starting now. We're going to do that now. And if you are here for the Rays show, thank you for joining us. If it's your first time, do us a huge favor. If you're enjoying what you're seeing, give us a like. It means a lot to us. Lets us know you enjoy. If you got something to say, say it in the comments over on YouTube. You can let us know. And we're doing this live. So if you have something to say, you've got a comment, you saying, "Hey, I disagree," or "I agree," you want us to know about it, drop a comment. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're coming back and watching again, thank you guys. One of the key things, so that you know whenever we're going live, is you're going to want to drop us a follow, so that every time we go live, anytime we post something, that you know about it, so that you're not missing out on all this great live goodness. And we're going to have a good show today, even though maybe the race season isn't going the way we'd like it to. It certainly wasn't going the way that we talked about we'd like it to go last week. But we're going to talk about the series that happened this last week. We're going to discuss where we are in the playoff picture. We're going to give you bat and arm, as always. And we're also going to talk a little bit about, hey, if for some reason, you know, if the 99.3% happens and we don't end up making the playoffs, what is there to still watch this season of Rays baseball? Because if you're watching this show, you're probably watching every Rays game anyway. So what are some things you can be watching, looking out for as the rest of the season unfolds? So with all that said, let's kind of dive into the last week's games. Unfortunate series in Philadelphia is, I think, where we need to kick it off.
Yeah, it gets a big on the frustration scale for me, because we came off a really like satisfactory, really hard fought series win against the Orioles in Baltimore. And I don't know about you, Zach, but that was when I was like, "Hey, are we cooking something here? Are we finally going to go on that run? We're like on our way back to 500. This was like a series we really weren't expecting to win. And then the Phillies are like, "No, you're done. You're just not good enough, bub. Go back home." And it's a shame, really, because two of those games were only one runners. A walk-off loss in the finale, it didn't feel like we were completely outclassed, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter about the performances at this point. It's just, do you get it over the line? And all three times we didn't.
Yeah, and that's a very, you know, I've said this a couple of times this year, but the Rays continue to play a very frustrating brand of baseball on a very consistent basis, where they are in the game in almost every single game they've played. If you look back over this last, I don't know, you could almost say probably about 2 to 3 weeks here, there's maybe been maybe one game, and that's the last Phillies game, the middle game of the Phillies series, where we have been just out of the game. Every other game we have played over the last 2 weeks, we have been in the game. A lot of them are like one run losses. I'm just kind of looking back through here. We lost one game to the Orioles by 2 runs. All the other losses as we go back to this last week, except for that one Phillies loss, were by 1 run. So
yeah, and even the middle game, we were tied going into the eighth inning.
Right. And we had, you had a blow up, and that, you know, that happens, but like they're in every single game, every single one. And that is, it's really frustrating from the perspective of a fan, because you're like, we're getting close. We could win, and we don't. And a lot of times in those games where we could have won, there's guys on base with opportunity to drive in to take the lead, and we just don't do it. And so that's a frustrating brand of baseball to watch. But I think kind of looking at it from the other side, and we've said this some this year too, they're not getting blown off the field. They're competing. They're going, and that's why I think for me, why I've never given up on them making the playoffs is because it's clear the team hasn't given up. Nobody is packing it in. Nobody is out there saying, yeah, forget it, man. Nobody's out there like that catcher in AA who was, did you see that story about, there's this catcher in AA who like was giving signs to the batter of the other team so the season would be over soon. Crazy.
Wasn't like a playoff spot on the line?
Yeah. It was a playoff spot, was on the line. The kid just got drafted in the 6th round from Coastal Carolina, and he's given signs to the other team so the season can be over. That's bonkers to me. He may be out of baseball after that. That's bonkers. Nobody on this Rays team is doing that. Logan Driscoll is not giving signs. He's hitting dingers. That's what he's doing, as we're going to talk about later. But nobody's packing it in. And I really admire that about this team. You know, it would be really easy after all the injuries, after the players that have gotten traded away, to just kind of say, all right, I guess this is not happening this year. But they are continuing to fight and continuing to push to win games. And I really admire that, even in a series where you just didn't get it done.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the amount of one-run games we've played is really high as well. It feels like every week we make this point that like all the losses are like kind of close. All the wins, are, like all the games are kind of close.
Yeah.
So we're always going to have a chance to win. And you just hope that... eventually next year some of our kind of almost become get over the line type things.
Yeah, I can't remember which game it was. Maybe it was the last game of the Phillies series. I gotta remember. There was a spot in like the bottom of the eighth, I think, or the top of the eighth, where Junior was up with runners on, and I was like, this is where you want your star to make himself known, to make a play, score somewhere, and he ended up striking out. And I just wonder what happens next year when he's in that exact same spot. What happens in a week or 2 weeks from now? And I think that's one of the most important things that's happening throughout the rest of this year, is that guys like Junior Caminero are getting to be at bat in the top of the eighth inning in a one-run game in a playoff race and trying to go up there and score runs to get your teams to the playoffs. The importance of having those kinds of at-bats for young players, I don't think can be understated. And so even as frustrating as the losses are, there are good things happening, because as I've been saying now for the last couple of weeks, the baseball does not end after this postseason or after this season ends. Baseball is going to continue into next year. And there are good things that are happening in this season that we're going to see pay dividends, hopefully, next year.
Yeah, and I think we're in like... This is not going to sound like a good opinion, okay, but like hear me out. I think we're in a positive position in terms of kind of getting ourselves set for the future, because not only are we still playing baseball where there is things at stake, as slim as the chances for a playoffs may be, we are putting people that we want to be big parts of the team, and we want people to develop in those spots in actual meaningful baseball games.
Yes.
Which is where the, pressure creates diamonds, right? Pressure mm-hmm. creates coal into diamonds. And we are giving real pressure and real situations to players that we want to succeed in those moments down the line.
Yeah.
Which means that if they succeed, brilliant. If we keep ourselves alive for a bit longer. If we don't succeed, then it's still not like massive pressure, because it's it sets us in good stead to learn and improve for next year, where we want to get back into the fight earnestly.
Yeah. Speaking of fight, before we move on from this series, I do think we need to discuss what happened in that middle game. Edwin Uceda, who has been, we've talked him up a bunch on this podcast about how good he's been, how consistent he's been over the last couple months. He had his worst appearance in a Rays uniform by far. Just exploded and gave up a couple of runs to kind of, you know, maybe take us out of contention for winning the game or getting close to the game, and then gave up a home run that really put us out. And what happened after that, he actually gave up the home run, then gave up a double to Bryce Harper. And then on the next pitch to Nick Castellanos, who is not the person you want to hit, by the way, which just gets more to the point that I'm going to make later, loses a sinker up in, you know, not up and in, but up, and hits him right in the back. Bench is clear. Bryce Harper was not happy. Nick Castellanos was not happy. The Phillies said a bunch of, you know, kind of snarky things in the media afterwards. Uceda denied that it was intentional. What are your thoughts on all that?
Did that pitch get away from him? I'm not so sure. He claims it was a changeup. It wasn't a changeup, for sure. If it was a changeup, it's the hardest changeup ever.
So he did say later that he was mistranslated. And that what he was trying to say was that he was trying to throw inside to allow his changeup to be more effective. Okay. Take that for what you will. That's just what he's claiming. Take that for what you will.
Okay. I think we'll never truly know if it was intentional or not. We can't live in Edwin Uceda's head. But it's all like perception is reality and the optics are terrible.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And whether even if it was a pitch that got away with him, maybe when you're really angry and frustrated at how your performance has gone, be careful when, like, be extra careful when you're working inside to hitters, because if that happens, perception is reality. Everyone's going to be like, you did that on purpose. I think he was definitely frustrated and he definitely wanted to go inside on the guy. Whether or not he meant to hit him, we'll never know. But he was like, even if it's not going to hit him, I want to buzz this guy. I want to reestablish my presence as a pitcher by making him aware of the inside pitch. And he wasn't careful and he got tilted and he let the emotions get the better of him. If he wants to be a closer, okay, which is what we want for him, he might be, or at least a consistently used high leverage arm in the bullpen, right? So sharing duties with Fairbanks in the cold weather or whatever.
Right.
You need to have a better check on your emotions in high pressure situations. It's not just a performance thing, but it's also a personality thing. Okay. There's a reason why guys get used in high leverage and some guys don't. And currently, if he keeps letting emotions kind of override everything that he does and it affects his performance on the field negatively, then he does not have a future as a high leverage reliever for me. But I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I think you made a lot of really good points. I do think it could be kind of a one you maybe get two strikes on this one. Like, you're not getting three. Like, that was your one strike. We better not see this again. Because I think the best case scenario for that situation is he was kind of struggling with control all night. Worst case scenario, it was a bad decision to throw inside when you're struggling with control. And like you said, emotions are high. It's just not a good decision to throw that pitch there in that situation when you've already been struggling with control. Bad decision. So that's worst case scenario. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario is he hit him on purpose, right? No matter what it actually is, can't happen again if you're going to be a high leverage guy. It just cannot. And it was good to see him come back out last night and get a 5-out save and look really, really good. That was good to see. Negative regression is going to happen. He was kind of pitching out of his mind, over his skis, whatever you want to say, for the last month and a half. It's probably more realistic that he's more of a 2 ERA type guy. Just when you look at some of his underlying numbers, his zone percentage is good. It could be better. The stuff is good, especially the changeup is really, really good. The cutter is kind of whatever. The sinker is pretty good. He's very location based. And what you saw on, I guess it was Wednesday of this last week when that game was played, what you saw was it was a guy who needs to control his locations to be effective. You see what happens when you don't hit your spots. He was getting in uncompetitive at bats, and he had to throw pitches in the strike zone he didn't want to throw, trying to reestablish the strike zone and throw pitches in locations he probably didn't want to. Bad look. And it just happens. So when he's hitting his spots, and you saw that last night, he's an elite pitcher. When he's not hitting his spots, what you need from him is to say, I'm not hitting my spots. I've got to figure out a way to get out of here and not give up runs. And if you do give up runs, to keep your composure and not lose control. Because that's what it looked like happened. At the bare minimum, it looks like he just wasn't in control of himself and made bad decisions, whether it was intentional to hit him or not. You can't have that from a high leverage guy. And there is competition for those high leverage spots, right? You've got Poche. You've got Clevinger. You've got Mason Montgomery, who's come up and looked amazing. And then, of course, Pete Fairbanks. So there is competition for those high leverage innings. So if you can easily self-select yourself out of that role by not being able to control your emotions in those moments. So I hope that this was a one-time blip, a one-time bad decision. A good talking to you from Kevin Cash and Kyle Snyder will write that, and he'll, you know, maybe take the offseason to reflect a little bit and kind of get that under control. It was good to see him come back out there and have a good performance last night. But if this happens again, it might be time for you to be a sixth or seventh inning guy, or maybe time for you to not be on the team anymore.
Yeah, I'm completely with you in the terms of you get one more. Like, you get to make one mistake. Now the question is, do you learn from that mistake? Or do you continue that behavior? It's like I'm a school teacher as a profession, and that's usually my approach as well. Like, if you make a mistake in terms of like your conduct, or you don't hand in an assignment, you get one chance to make that mistake while you're learning. And then if you learn, that's completely fine. We forget about it. If you don't learn, then this is who you are, and we can't accept that.
Right. And again, to be clear to anyone who's listening, we're not talking, if he goes out there and gives up three runs, I could care less. If he keeps his composure mm-hmm. and just does his job, like, that's not the mistake I'm talking about. The mistake I'm talking about is putting a opponent in danger and then potentially putting your own teammates in danger in a brawl or in retaliation. Like, all it takes is one guy on the Phillies to get a little upset and decide to throw inside on Junior Caminero, hits him on the wrist, he breaks his wrist. Now what?
Right.
Like, that's what you can't have.
It's just like you do your job professionally or you don't. If you were in an office and you had an awful day at the office where, let's say, you didn't meet your sales quota for the month, you don't go take a swing for the guy next to you who did.
Exactly.
Right. And I know sports are kind of more physical, but like we just I hate hitting anyone intentionally. I don't believe it. I mean, are you with me in the, I don't believe in like, oh, if our guy gets beans, we've got to throw one back. I don't believe in that.
My mindset has always been, if you hit me, my goal if I get hit, like if I'm a batter and I get hit, my goal in the next at bat is to just launch the next one out of the stadium. I'm not going to go back to my dugout and tell my pitcher, hey, you got to hit the next guy. I'm like, no, I'm just waiting for the next time I see that guy to just launch one. That's my mindset. Same thing with a batter, like when I was pitching, if a batter, you know, bat flipped, like my goal is I'm not going to hit him in his next at bat. I'm going to try to throw the best pitches I've ever thrown and make him look bad at the plate. That's what I'm trying to do, because to me, doesn't make sense to say this guy did something we don't like. Let's give their team a competitive advantage.
Right.
For free. Let's do that. And maybe get myself a guy's
career.
Right. You could jeopardize a guy's career. You could give them a competitive advantage for that game. You could get yourself ejected or suspended, which could then have a negative impact on, you know, the rest of the, you know, I don't think that Edwin Uceda not being available the next night really affected the outcome of that game. And it's lucky that we, and I, but again, like what happens if the next, you know, we ended up winning the next two games in Cleveland, one of which he was suspended for. But what about if that first game in Cleveland, if it gets into a late inning situation and we're tied and he's not available? Like that's what you just can't do that. That you cannot hurt the team because you cannot keep your emotions in check. Just kind of period end of story.
Yeah. You've got the benefit of the doubt, Edwin, but don't do it again, please.
Don't do it again.
We're not that type of team.
No.
We're not the Yankees who just like, you know, we're not the 2017 to 2020 Yankees. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the last
thing. You can just keep it going if you want to. You can just keep it going. Anyway, so that's the Philly series. The Guardians series, much better than the Philly series. And that we have won the two games of the Guardians series so far, which I kind of did not expect, to be totally honest with you. After we got swept by the Phillies, I was kind of like, all right, this going into Cleveland, I was like, this could be it. We could be in for a rough couple games. And this team, as it has done all year, said, no, we're going to keep fighting. And I've now won the first two games of this series off the back of two really good starting pitching performances as well. So one really good beginning of the game and then a bunch of really good bullpen stuff and then one really good start, to put it in perspective.
Yeah, it was the pitching. It was the pitching that led the way, which is how it's going to have to be for pretty much all of our wins. Because, again, like, we're just not a team you can depend on scoring over four or five runs every game. We just can't depend on ourselves to do that. But the pitching was outstanding. This is an unpopular opinion. I love a bullpen game. And I love a Rays bullpen game in particular because it's basically just us showing off how deep and great our bullpen is. Because let's be honest, like the Angels couldn't do a bullpen game and win consistently. But we can because we've got so many great arms. And it's kind of like a flex that the Rays... And it's such a signature Rays thing to do as well. I think we kind of popularized the bullpen game as well. I love a bullpen game. I know they're not aesthetically pleasing for some, but they are for me. Like, I love seeing like seven names on the box score all with a clean inning. You know what I mean?
It's great. It's fun. And, you know, you look at a guy like Cole Sulcer, who I was not familiar with his changeup until these last couple of appearances of him. He has impressed me greatly. In his couple of, since he's come up, he has impressed me greatly. I'm intrigued to see what he can do. If he's going to be a part of this team, he's throwing multiple innings. I like that. I'm very intrigued. Montgomery continues to be really, really good. Manuel Rodriguez continues to be really, really good. Lovelady continues to just kind of somehow, I'm always a little nervous when I see his name, you know, coming up to go into a game, but gets a clean inning. You know, what can you say? Really quickly, Pepio out after two innings was a little bit of concern. I got two theories on that. The first one is, this is not a theory, it's just what Cash said. They saw a little dip in the velocity on his breaking pitch and fastball in the first two innings and just decided we're not going to risk it, so we're going to take him out. And they have said afterwards that they expect him to make his next start. So hopefully nothing, you know, too serious there. I also have a suspicion that they have an in mind an innings limit or a pitch count limit or something on him this season. And if they can have an excuse to, you know, keep that low and give him maybe some more innings later in the season, they maybe are taking those opportunities where they can. And they felt confident in Sulcer and the rest of the bullpen to come in. Because, I mean, Sulcer going three innings, I didn't expect when he just popped in. So he impressed me. I was really happy to see the bullpen be able to come in and have that kind of a shutdown performance. And then to get a little bit of offense, which, you know, we've been sorely missing. But, the offense has potential. And this is what we've kind of been saying all year, is they have potential. They have guys that can make things happen. It's just a question of whether they are going to or not, and whether they're going to do it in key moments.
Yeah. I'm having a Mandela effect moment here, because Cole Sulcer, this is only his second year part of the Rays major league team, but I feel like we've had him, like we've acquired him like 10 different times. Can someone get up the transaction log and find out how many times we've actually acquired Cole Sulsa? But apparently, this is only the second season that he's appeared with the major league team. He was with us in like 2019, and now he's back with us in 2024. But I feel like I felt like he was bouncing between us and the Dodgers like 25 times. But that could be a complete Mandela effect. But yeah, great appearance for Sulsa and everyone else in that bullpen game as well. And for me, it's about, we've kind of transitioned a little bit the offense from being like more of a like small ball, ground ball, infield single team to like a swing for the fences type team. So again, I sound like a bit like a broken record on this point, but we're a high variance offense where like if everything clicks, we could score some runs, but we've got a lot of guys that are very inconsistent with their output. So it could also mean we could get blanked on any given day as well. Lots of swing and miss in the team at the moment. It's just a high ceiling, high floor environment for the Rays lineup right now. So it's great when you get a pitching performance and a hitting performance as well.
So Cole Sulsa, drafted in 2013 by the Cleveland Guardians now, was a part of a three-team trade that involved, let's see, because this was, and it's funny because he was a part of the three-team trade that we got Yandy and, we got Yandy from Bowers. That trade, and we traded Bowers and Carlos Santana, and Edwin Encarnacion was a part of that trade. Then he was put on waivers in 2019 and picked up by the Orioles. Then he was traded by the Orioles to the Marlins. Then the Marlins put him on waivers. Then the Arizona Diamondbacks picked him up. Then the Diamondbacks put him on waivers. And then the Rays picked him up. And then the Rays outrighted him again and gave him the option to select free agency. And he signed with the Mets. And then the Mets put him on waivers. And then he's back with the Rays. So he's been in and around, you know, team since 20, like it all kind of started in 2018 your idea that we've been a part of him before is not wrong, because he did first come to the Rays in 2018, then was gone for 5 years before coming back and then leaving again and coming back again. So you're not completely wrong there.
Yeah. He's not the, was it Oliver Drake that just kept going up and down and up and down?
Yeah, so he's been up. He has been up and down a little bit, but I mean, quite a journey for Cole Sulsa, and I'm just glad that he has kind of made his way back onto the team. And it you know, when you see guys like that are constantly in flux and constantly, you're wondering, are they going to be able to make it up to the major leagues? It makes me think sometimes when I'm looking at my wardrobe. And I'm looking in my dresser and I'm like, I've got all these options in here. Are any of them going to actually make it up to be a major league outfit that I'm really confident in going out in? And when I'm in those situations, I know there's a place that I can go where I can just buy a major league ready outfit. And that's shop.rblrsports.com, where you can get the best merch inspired by your favorite Tampa Bay sports teams, the Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, all there. And you can also get all those items for 10% off with promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, 10% off everything there. Now is a great time. And there's always a great time to buy Tampa Bay inspired sports merch, but the Bucks are just getting started with their season. The Rowdies are in the thick of a race. You've got the Lightning are kind of, you know, they're a little bit in the off season right now, but it's always good to get prepped. And of course the Rays are fighting for their postseason lives and maybe fighting for the future too, as we see some guys out there trying to fight for their future. So now is a great time to be at shop.rblrsports.com, where you can use promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, for 10% off.
Did I tell you that once I was walking down the street in the Bring Back the Devil shirt and a guy literally like recognized me and said, "Go Rays," in the streets? And that was in the UK.
In the UK.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The Rays are a brand, man. And the best way to represent them might be in an RBLR t-shirt, I would say. Because if it works here in jolly old England, then surely it would work wherever you are.
100%. And speaking of representing the team, let's talk about two guys who represented this Rays team very, very well in our bat and arm of the week. Pat, who is our bat of the week?
All right, so we are in agreement on both the bat and we are of the week this week. And there was some good performances this week. There were three guys that hit to a WRC plus over 200, which is a gaudy number. But the guy that edged it out for us was Johnny Aranda. Jonathan Aranda is our bat of the week. 235 WRC plus, which led the team. He put up half a FWAR and was just outstanding this week. Hit a couple of bombs, drove in three. Had a high walk percentage as well, almost 15%. Didn't strike out, less than 10% strikeout percentage. A slugging percentage of 824 on the week. Like, Johnny Aranda, he's in such a tough spot where, like, he's got to really shove this next month to prove that he's got a future on the Major League roster for the Rays. And he's doing just that and helping us out in a big way in critical games for us. How do you feel about Johnny Aranda?
I feel really good about Johnny Aranda. I'm really glad to see him coming up. And like you said, having that really good performance that we've been kind of waiting for from him for a long time. And as I was, you know, I was wondering, like, hey, is he doing anything different? Is anything changed from his the previous times he's been up? Now, they're all small sample sizes, so keep that in mind. But if you look at, like, if you look at his previous times that he's come up in the majors compared to how he's doing right now, he is swinging outside the zone less, 4% less. He is swinging a little bit more. He's swinging a little bit more pitches in the zone. His zone contact rate is up 6%. He's not only making good decisions as he's kind of always done, but he's also making contact on those good decisions. So that's just really good to see because we've always known this guy has the bat. He has the potential. Can he realize it at the major league level? His defense has been acceptable at first base as well. So he is giving himself a chance to be a left-handed power bat on this team going forward. And what I want to see is him continue to make good plate decisions and continue to make good contact in the strike zone. Because if he can do that consistently, he's up at about an 85% zone contact rate, which is good. If he can continue to allow that to climb and allow it to stabilize throughout his time up here in the majors, we could see him having a longer role. Last week was obviously great, but I'm excited about the future with Jonathan Aranda as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love those points about swinging more and making more contact. He's just barreling. He's also, like, making, like, quality contact as well. Like, his exit velocities are super high. He's getting good launch angles. He's getting barrel percentages really high. He's, like, seeming really locked in and really confident. I actually have never doubted the eyes of Johnny Aranda and his kind of plate discipline tool. But now he seems to have the confidence to go after those pitches more aggressively. Now, as he's adjusted to kind of major league velocities and seeing major league stuff, he's now ready to start swinging at it more aggressively, and it's working wonders. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see if they can fit him on a major league roster full time in 2025. I mean, is the jury still out, or do you reckon we've definitely got a spot for Aranda next year? I think it's a really tricky conundrum.
It's a really tricky conundrum because I think a lot of it depends on what happens with Yandy Diaz and Brandon Lau too, honestly, in this offseason. Because I don't know if they're still going to be here next year or not. I think if they're both still here, it's going to be a tough spot for him to get on the roster. But I think if one of them is not here, I think he's got a really strong chance to make the roster starting next year. It's going to be a tough roster to crack, I think, for infielders specifically, because there's a lot of guys vying for those spots. But we'll see. He's given himself a really, really good chance. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know which. Yeah, I guess it really depends on if a good trade offer comes in for Yandy or Lau, I think is going to be the difference maker, because I don't think they trade them unless a good offer comes in and they can afford not to trade them, because they're both on good salaries that, like, are very, like, team friendly. But now they have if Johnny Aranda continues to perform well between now and down the stretch, they can have that freedom to go, well, if a good offer does come in, we can kind of feel comfortable moving them, knowing that Aranda can play first or second for the next couple of years, and be safe in his bat and not have to worry too much about the glove.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think there's the jury is still 100% out, but the good thing is that he's going to be getting a lot of opportunities to play here for these next 2.5 weeks. And so he's going to get a chance to make a case for himself. And I think as an athlete, as a competitor, that's kind of all you can ask for. It's just give me a chance, and that he's going to get it. So I'm excited to see if he can make the most of it.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for you, Aranda. We want you to succeed. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, we have a winner for Arm of the Week. Zach, who is that?
The Arm of the Week is somebody that there's a lot of questions, and it was starting to swirl a little bit around what is this person's role going to be with the team next year? Are they good enough after 5 straight outings of allowing runs and 4 runs allowed in the last of those 5 outings? You started to wonder, is this guy actually good enough to be a part of the major league starting rotation? Are we going to see him in the bullpen? And he's a guy who came out this week in 2 starts, gave up no runs earned or allowed over 11 innings and walked only 1. That is Zach Littell. Came out and reestablished his position as a part of the starting rotation, as a force to be reckoned with when you're going to look at who, you know, a lot of really high octane names are going to be talked about for who's going to be the starting rotation for the Rays next year. Zach Littell has to be in those conversations because of his ability to limit hard contact, because of his ability to not walk guys and give guys free passes, and just because of his ability to limit the opponent from scoring. That is, you know, that's about all you can ask for from a starting pitcher. Is he the highest strikeout guy of all time? No, he's not. But when he is on, he goes out there, he doesn't walk guys, he is efficient in his games. That's the kind of guy that you need in your starting rotation. Zach Littell's the Arm of the Week, making his case to return to the rotation next year.
Yeah, it just goes to show that when you've got a fatigued shoulder, it turns out a little bit of rest is all you need. Obviously, his first start back against the Twins was like not his strongest work. But since then, 11 scoreless innings. Like, maybe all he needed was a little bit of a rest to get mm-hmm. his energy levels back, and he's ready to go. Again, interesting question. With all the pitchers that are vying for a spot in this starting rotation, Zach Littell was starting to look a little bit like an odd man out, mainly because of his age and service time. Now we have to, again, like Aranda, go, right, do we need to try and figure out a spot for this guy next year? Again, it's a tricky one. He's been so good for the Rays since being converted into a starter. It's hard to say that he shouldn't be on the team.
To me, when you look at a guy who's going to pitch 150 to 160 innings this year, is getting the results that he's getting, you cannot snub that. Because when you look at the guys who are going to be a part of the rotation for next year, even the guys that we look at as like, these are the top of the line guys, McClanahan, Pepio, Springs, all those guys have injury stuff. Boz, same thing. All those guys have injury stuff. And I think that Boz's injury was just really an excuse for him to get some time off, kind of like you. I mean, I'm not doubting the injury was real, but I do believe that they needed to give him some time off his feet a little bit and get his rest back. But even saying that, he's still going to pitch 160 plus probably innings this year. So that's the kind of guy you need on your rotation. The number of guys that are pitching that many innings is dwindling every year. It's getting less and less, and especially on the Rays. So to have a guy that can go out there and do that, and now he's done it for a year, we can now expect him to do that again next year. I think he's kind of locked in as a 4-5 starter for this team. And if he is your 4-5 guy, you've got a really good rotation.
Yeah. Okay. McClanahan in the rotation next year. Check. Boz in the rotation next year. Check. Mm-hmm. Springs, for sure. Pepio, I would say yes. And then I guess it comes down to Littell and Bradley. And right now, it's got to be Littell.
Yeah. I think it's got to be
Littell. I guess Littell. That solves it.
Yeah. And what where this gets interesting is, if Bradley, you know, starts to pitch better and kind of, you know, if he can ever figure out a true out pitch for him to go along with a good fastball, you know, maybe he works his way back into the rotation, and he's definitely the first guy up. If one of those guys gets injured, which they probably will at some point, at least for a little bit, he's a great guy to have in waiting. And, you know, I think for now that's your rotation with Bradley nipping at the heels.
Yeah. Next year, Littell's in his final year of ARB. And then in 2026, he'll be a free agent. So you get one more year of Littell. Do you extend Littell? Do you try and buy out his ARB year and maybe 1 year of free agency?
I talk about
priority?
It. I'd at least talk to his agent and see what he'd want. See if you can get him on a 3-year deal, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd find out if I were the Rays, because I think it's worth it. Because again, even if you decide down the line that Bradley is your guy or one of the younger guys, like maybe one of the couple of guys that we traded for this trade deadline continues to move his way up, and we say, we want to move you back to the bullpen, becomes then an incredibly valuable stretch guy who is that I've said this a couple of times. I love having a restart button. He could be your ultimate restart button on any start where he could go 3 or 4 innings. Plus if somebody has a rough start to a game, he could be an incredibly valuable bullpen piece. So I think it's worth at least asking about extending him. I don't think we need to do like anything crazy, but a little 3-year, 2-year deal to extend him, buy out. I'd be up for that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and also like with this rotation, I guess McClanahan feels like he's a bit of an elder statesman by now, but really we don't have that kind of veteran presence if we don't have Littell. And I feel like every good rotation has one of those. And the Rays have often went out of their way to get one of those into the rotation, like an Eflin or a Morton or someone like that, to have someone who can kind of help all the younger guys out and lead by example. And Littell could be that guy because he's definitely one of the older ones in this rotation as well. And I don't think that value is zero.
No, not at all. I think, and again, also just being able to say, I know this guy can do 150, 160 innings in a season. That's valuable too. So I think all those things combined, he's locked into the rotation somewhere. We can quibble, and we probably will in the offseason about what the order is, but he's in there for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think after talking it through, I think he has to be, but I think it was, I think it was fair that we had to like lay out the plan in order to just like make sure that does work.
Yeah. I think it's, and I think that's what, you know, that's why I like talking baseball and why I like, you know, talking it with you and having these discussions, because, you know, it's one thing to just say, yeah, this guy's a starter. But to be able to, what we want to be able to do is say, why? Why do we think he started? What are the reasons that he could, you know, compete with a guy like Bradley? What are the pros and cons? And I think it's a fair question to ask. But I also think that just because we have to question the conclusion does not mean the conclusion is wrong.
Exactly.
We just have to question the conclusion.
We just have to be, you know, the best way to make sure your viewpoints hold water are to challenge them.
Absolutely. 100%.
All right, so I got two questions for you, Zach. One's a quick one.
Okay.
Because I've seen a couple of people talking about this. We're down to 0.7% playoff odds. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we trying harder to get a higher draft pick, Zach? Why aren't we tanking? This year's probably donezo. Why aren't we trying to get a higher draft pick?
Because that's not how this organization is built. You can't go out there all season and preach being competitive, preach never giving up, preach fighting, and then come out there and say, yeah, never mind. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. That's not the way this organization is built. That's not the way that the people that are, you know, a part of it are built. You could maybe argue there are times when they're putting out lineups that maybe are not the highest probability to give you the most runs. But even in that, there's reasons behind that. Like, should Carlson be playing as much as he is if you're just trying to win games? You could argue about that. But we know why he's playing, because we need to see what he's got for next year. And that the winning and seeing what guys have for next year are not necessarily mutually exclusive. He has performed pretty well when he's been out there. So that you can have that in one bucket. But the idea of actually actively tanking, to me, is just not smart. In addition to that, the draft, like when you look at the draft, it's kind of a crapshoot in a, it's like any young talent evaluation in baseball. How can you be sure that, like, let's say that they tank and they get the third or fourth pick? How do we know that that guy will be like a for sure MLB guy that is worth, you know, embarrassing your organization and potentially affecting your locker room chemistry and the way your you know, players view your organization? And to be also known as a team that tanks, I feel like that's not something you want to be known as that. That's kind of, I think, how people may view this team from the outside, but that's not the way that this team views itself and why, how the fans view it. So I don't think you want to get into that water, just first of all. And there's no guarantee that whatever, there's no guarantee you'll actually get a really high pick. First of all, it's a lottery. And, yeah. And second of all, what's the guarantee that that pick is going to be worth the negatives of tanking? None. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of those things. And just to like reiterate it, it's just, you can't, like, let's be honest. We all want this team to be in a playoff, in the playoff mix next year.
Yes.
We want to be in a, you know, whether, I doubt it would be for a division next year, probably, unless something significant happened in the offseason. But we should be in the hunt for a wild card next year for certain, right? And I'd be really disappointed if that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Why should you tell your team to not try and win? Like, how can you practice? How can you win if you've never tried to win for a month?
Yep.
Right? Like, it's a mindset. And you can't turn off the we need to try and win every game mindset at any point. Otherwise, you'll lose it. Let's talk about the guy that what was his name? That catcher from the Twins org that got released.
Right.
He there's a reason he got released on the spot. Is because if you're not trying to win every single game, you shouldn't be playing at the highest level.
Amen.
So I think it's just stupid. And I think you make a good point about the lottery as well, where, like, currently, according to tankathon.com, the Rays currently have a 1.5% chance to get the number one pick. That would be hilarious if we got that. But, like, let's say we, like, tank a little bit more. Well, like, if we tank a little bit more, we could maybe get to, like, a worse record than, like, let's say if we really try, we could get, like, a worse record than maybe, like, the Rangers, right? Okay? If we do that and move to, like, the seventh worst record, that's a 3.6% chance of getting the number one pick. So, like, if you decide to sell out on this season and tell your players to give up and make them and sacrifice a good winning mindset to increase your chances of getting the number one pick by 2%, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you at all.
And there's, again, even if you get the number one pick, there's no guarantee that number one pick is going to be, you know, an elite guy that's going to change your, it's going to change your organization. You know, when you look at the number one picks over the years, I mean, yes, there are guys like Paul Skeens, obviously, who's come and made an immediate impact, but there's also the Henry Davises, the Mark Appels, the Tim Beckhams, the Luke. Have you ever heard the name Luke Hochevar?
Who? Oh, Hochevar. Luke Hochevar. Hochevar.
Luke Hochevar.
I do know him because he, like, I think he was a reliever for the Royals once, but that's because I'm a sicko.
He was. But again, so, like, Delmon Young, like, just because they're a number one pick does not automatically mean that they're going to be an elite talent. And so, again, but you know, to be fair, getting a number one pick, like, yes, you could get a Paul Skeens, who is the next year affecting, you know, their team as a whole. I'd love to have Paul Skeens, don't get me wrong. But my point is just that to say we're going to trade the way that we view ourselves as an organization for a shot at on the next Paul Skeens just doesn't seem like a good trade-off to me.
No, and, like, the draft, like, you can, you know, there are sometimes guys that feel like sure hits in a draft, right? And smarter people than me will tell me if the 2025 draft has some people like that in it. I don't really follow college baseball. I don't really follow the amateur ranks. But, like, there's also guys like Mike Trout, who was drafted 25th overall. He was not drafted number one at all. Wasn't Mookie Betts drafted in, like, the 12th round or something? No, he was drafted in the fifth round. That's still... Mm-hmm. hundreds of picks before we got to Mookie Betts. It's like you can judge and you can track to an extent, but like it's never an exact science, and there's always a bit of luck to it and a bit of like guesswork that goes into it. So again, I don't think you should ever like sacrifice everything for a number one draft pick in baseball. Maybe if we were in the NBA, right? But like that's not how it works in baseball.
Yeah, because again, like even as good as, you know, even as good as Paul Skeens is, him coming up and making an impact as quickly as he has is a unicorn. We think about like Adley Rutschman, took him a couple years. Spencer Torkelson took him a couple years. Jackson Holliday, Royce Lewis was drafted number one by the Twins in 2017. He is just now starting to realize his potential. Just now starting to fully realize his potential. So I just don't think it makes sense, at least to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, last thing that I think we need to do is we're going to rapid fire this because we're coming close to an hour. And if we like really broke this down, we could run for 2 hours. So I'm going to ask for like one word, one sentence answers max. Okay. That's okay. The challenge. I'm going to run through the 40 man really quickly. Okay. Do we keep them on the 40 man for next year or do we try and hunt for another option?
Okay.
For next year, for 2025.
For next year.
Okay. For 2025. Assuming we're trying to make the playoffs next year.
Yes.
Okay. Tyler Alexander.
Maybe. I'm leaning toward... I'll say yes for now. For now, I'll say yes.
Okay. I'm going to say no. I think there will be options in AAA once they've like pitched a bit more and had a full spring training that can work as a sixth man, kind of swingman kind of deal. And are worth a look over Alexander at this point. Okay. Shane Baz. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hunter Biggie.
Yes.
Yeah. Agree.
Very yes.
I'm really excited to see what he'll bring in 2025. Yes. Mm-hmm. Taj Bradley.
Yes.
Yes, for sure. Like you got to give him another look. Like maybe he does suck, but we want to give him one more year to find that out. Right.
Yeah.
Garrett Clevenger.
Yes.
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 Yes. I think so as well.
Yes.
Okay, this is a minor league edition. He's still very low in the minors, actually. I think he's in double A at the moment. Yoniel Cure.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's had kind of a resurgence this year where we were kind of wondering if he was going to fall off the map. He's had a good year. I'm there's something I don't know about Yoniel Cure. I want to see. I'm still intrigued by him.
Yeah, I think in theory he should be in, he should get a shot in AAA next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. That's a good litmus test, I think. Fairbanks, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Kevin Kelly, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
He's been on a heater, really. He could have won really good the week.
Recently.
Yeah. Joel Cunnell.
I say no.
Yeah, I think we can look at other options. I'm not totally convinced.
Other options, yeah.
For what it's worth, I never want to say people should lose their jobs, but like with people like Joel Cunnell, he will find a job somewhere else. He's good enough to find a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
Zach Littell.
Yes.
Yeah. We've just talked about it. Jacob Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I think he could be the Tyler Alexander.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Richard Lovelady.
No.
You're not convinced by Lovelady?
No, I just think there's better options.
Sure. I mean, you're going to have to find a lefty, I suppose, which is like not always the easiest task, but I think it can be done.
Yeah.
McClanahan? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Montgomery? Mason
yes.
Montgomery?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big guess for me.
Pepio?
Yes.
Yeah. This is easy. Poche?
Yes.
Yes. Rasmussen?
Yes.
Yes. Man Rodriguez?
Yes.
Yeah. Springs?
Yes.
Salsa.
I'm gonna say yes for now because I'm intrigued by what he can do, and I think he's better than like Lovelady or Cunnell, or maybe even I don't know if he's better than Alexander or not. I'll wait on that, but I think he's in that bucket of guys that could fight for a spot.
Unless I think he is currently in the driver's seat where like he needs to be proven that there's a better option before we go somewhere else. Uceda.
Yes.
Yeah. Wagaspak.
Yeah.
Remember him?
is he healthy yet or no? Is he still hurt?
No,
yeah, I'm just kind of whatever. Like I don't really. You know, he didn't blow my doors off when he was up here. He's fine.
Okay, so currently we have opened up like four spots in the pitching, which is I think valid because I think our pitching staff is really good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna do this in a rapid fire because we got three catches on the 40 man. Okay. Tell me which two you would want on the active roster.
Yeah.
Driscoll, Pinto, Rotfett.
I'm going to say something that might be controversial. Driscoll, Pinto.
I'm 100% with you. I'm glad you said it. You're brave for saying it. I agree. I don't know what Pinto has done to be banished.
That is a story that I want. Like, if I could ask one question to Kevin Cash, which there's a lot of things you could ask. He has to answer honestly. What is going on with Alex Jackson and Renee Pinto? I need to know. What is happening? Well,
there was some kind of drama with Erasmo and Alex Jackson.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like,
or Erasmo's wife and Alex Jackson.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is happening? I don't really want to get into that. That's kind of, you know, it's all hearsay, but it's very weird stuff. Very unraised-like stuff.
Yeah, but what I will say is Driscoll's early returns on Driscoll look really good.
Yeah. I agree.
I think ideally you'd want a lefty and a righty just so you can platoon him basically. And I know Pinto's not been great in AAA this year, but like I don't know, man. He's better than Rotvedt, I think.
I agree.
I don't hate Rotvedt for what it's worth, but
he's been good. He has done what was needed to be done for this season. We needed him.
Does Rotvedt have options? Is he able to go to AAA?
Let me find out.
Okay, but I'll cover for that. In the meantime, Rotvedt's been fine, but yeah, I just don't know if I just don't think he's out of those three catches. I think he's third place. Is basically where
he does not have options.
That adds a sting to it, doesn't it?
Technically we do have him. He starts arbitration in 2025 and he's not a free agent until 2028. So there is some value in the fact that he's, you know, have him under team control. So there is some value there, but yeah, I don't know. I think Driscoll's better than him.
Sure. I like Driscoll a lot. I'm glad we called him up and gave him a look. Cause he looks like he's got something. Yeah. Okay. I can't believe how many infielders we have on this 40 man.
Many.
Okay, Aranda, we just said yes. So
yes, we'll say yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oslavis Basabe. Remember him?
No.
The Bye. Quickest no of all time.
Yeah.
Why do you hate Basabe? One sentence.
I don't hate him. He's just not good. He's just okay. Again, like I've said this before, and this is the one time I'll say something long. This is the team that is competing for the playoffs. If I say I don't want you on the team, it's not because you suck. It's because I don't think you can contribute meaningfully to a team that is trying to make the playoffs every year. Nothing against you. There's a place for you on a roster somewhere, and you are way better at baseball than I will ever be. But no, I don't want to see him on the Rays 40-man next year.
Okay. Caballero.
Yeah. Let's say yes for now.
Okay. Caminero.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Yeah.
Now, if we're keeping Aranda, do you want Yandy?
Do I want Yandy? Yes.
Do you want both?
Yes, because Yandy, Aranda and Yandy could split time at first base.
Sure. Yeah, and one could DH.
Yes, and one could DH.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. I mean, I know you're going to answer, but Brandon Lau?
Yes.
Curtis Mead. Where are we at with Curtis Mead? Are you still a believer in Curtis Mead? Because you were.
I am a believer in him. It's just, there's, especially once they added Morel. Now they've added Morel, and now you've got Aranda up. I'm going to say yes, I don't want to kick him off the roster. I want to keep on the 40-man. but I don't know if he's going to impact the major league team next year or not. I just don't know. It's a tough infield to crack.
Does for me, I'm worried about Curtis Meade. I wouldn't want to like DFA him, but if like we could package him for someone, like I could see that happening. Just because like I don't think he does anything. Like I don't think he's the worst at any particular trait on the team, but I don't think he does anything better than the people that he's competing for playing time with. I don't think he's got more power than Caminero. I don't think he fields better than Caballero. Like, I don't think his contact ability is, that's probably his biggest strength. But again, like, it's not been needle moving in the small amount that we've seen.
We'll have to do some analysis off season too, to kind of look at these guys and see like, hey, like what are we, as we're looking at them for next year, who are we going to want on this roster? Cause that's a big question. For now, I'm going to say yes, but
yeah, he's on thin ice.
Yeah. He's on thin ice.
Morel? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Palacios?
Yes.
Yeah. Palacios is an interesting profile.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy to have on the team as like a role player. You wouldn't want him starting every game, I don't think.
Not necessarily, but if he's the worst guy in your lineup, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Or if he's at the bottom half of your lineup, you're doing really well.
Shenton. Austin Shenton.
Yes, I like Austin Shenton. I think that if especially if we move on from Yandy, if there's a world where we move on from Yandy and Bilal, which I don't think is going to happen, both of them. But if we do, Shenton, I think, ends up impacting the major league team next year. I like Shenton a lot.
Are we allowed? Like, is there a world realistically where we can have Shenton, Yandy, and Aranda all on the team next year?
Not on the major league team at the same time. No.
Yeah. So it's a tricky one. How would you power rank those three? Yandy one, surely.
Yandy one, Bilal two. That's very, very, very close. And then Aranda, Shenton.
Okay. So if you had to like, if one had to be the odd one out, it would be Shenton.
Probably, yeah. But I would right now put Shenton over Meade, personally.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So it's all bunched up there.
Yeah, but I guess Meade has the positional versatility. So it's.
Yeah.
Walls.
You have to. Yes.
You have to.
You have to have a shortstop, period.
Yeah. I mean, Caballero can be that, but like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, outfielders, I think you've got to keep like. You can only cut like one, maybe. So I'm just going to say them all. Tell me which one you're going to cut. Carlson, DeLuca, Lowe, Meisner, Siri.
I mean, it's got to be Meisner, unfortunately. I think there's also a world where Carlson doesn't impact the major league team too much next year. I think DeLuca's a good enough defender that he's going to end up on the roster no matter what. And I think there's also a chance Morel plays some outfield. So, yeah. And I think if that happens, you could see a lot of the time that Carlson was playing go to Morel in that way to get more flexibility in the infield. And I think Meisner is the odd man out there for sure, unfortunately.
Okay. We've not made that much space on our 40 man. Like, it's all been around the edges. So, like, we've said Meisner's getting cut. We've said maybe Shenton if we don't move on from anyone.
Basabe,
Rotvet, yeah. And then four pitches.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think that, you know, there's a lot of really good parts to this team. And I think all this, again, changes if you say we're going to trade for X player that's going to make an impact in the outfield or wherever, and we're going to package Meade and somebody else, a pitching prospect or something, to get whoever. Like, that could happen. It could happen. It could definitely happen.
That's what I'll keep saying it every week. I'm going to manifest it. Because even if he, like, we could play him in left field. That might make him less susceptible to injuries. I'm just saying.
Well, and that goes back to something I mentioned earlier in the show is what are we watching as Rays fans if the playoffs don't go the way we want to? Watch left field. Watch every day who's in left field. How are they doing? Because I think it's an open audition for left field for next year right now. I think it is the most up for grab position on the Rays. Is it Morel? Is it DeLuca? Is it Carlson? Is it some combination of those guys? I don't know. But that is where, that's what I'm watching. Almost that's the thing I'm looking at almost more than anything else when the lineups come out. Who is the left fielder? And if it's a guy like Morel, is DeLuca still in the lineup? Is Carlson in the lineup somewhere? I'm watching those guys and how they do, because I think they are kind of fighting for a role as a start, because there's no starting left fielder right now on this team at the moment. But that is being fought for, and that's kind of, to me, in addition to watching the playoff race, that's what I'm watching as we get to the end of the year.
Yeah, me too. I'm also just watching Caminero's growth. I'm watching if Aranda can keep it up. It's all those kind of fringe guys that are like battling for a place on the roster, and guys that we expect to be better next year if they make any adjustments. There's still loads to watch for. And like, oh gosh, like knowing this Rays team, if they like sweep the Red Sox and win one of the next two against Cleveland, we're going to be on the show being like, we're so back.
Well, because I've said it. You know, I said it, you know, it's unfortunate that we didn't do better against the Twins, but it's always been in front of us to influence our ability to make the postseason, because we play the Red Sox 6 times. We play the Tigers 3 times. And the other series that we have left is against the Blue Jays at home. It is not impossible. Is it hard and very unlikely? Yes. But it's possible, and I think it's going to be a fun ride all the way to the end. I think there's a really good chance that they are still in the playoff hunt when we come back next week to talk Rays baseball. They're still going to be in the playoff hunt, and it's a question of, have the Twins fallen back a little bit? Have we continued to win and had a good series against the Red Sox and a good end of the series against Cleveland and a good start to the Toronto series? I don't know, but I think it's still within the realm of possibility, and it's going to be fun to see what this next week holds.
Yeah, we got 14 games left. Yeah. 14 games left. 5.5 back, and we have tiebreakers. Over the Twins. We have tiebreakers over, who else are we in the mix with? Over the Mariners. We have, if we do well in these final games against the Red Sox, we could, if we beat them a bunch of times, we'd have a tiebreaker over them. The main thing is we have the tiebreaker over the Twins.
Yes. We do.
Have we played the Tigers yet this year? Where are we at with the Tigers?
I think we have, but I do not know how it went.
Let me double check that. Gosh, this was a long time ago if we did play the Tigers.
I think we played them at the beginning of the year.
We lost 2 out of 3 to the Tigers.
Yeah.
We lost 2 out of 3 to the Tigers. So we need to sweep them. Because I don't know what happens if we tie the season series against them.
Probably goes on run differential.
And we ain't winning that.
No, probably not.
So we got to sweep them.
We got to sweep them. But you know what? That's kind of what we need to do no matter what. We need to start sweeping people. Like that needs to happen. It would be great if you, like, if I'm just looking at that schedule, like if you could somehow find a way to go on a little run here, sweep the Red Sox, either sweep or at least win the series against the Blue Jays. And then it's going to take a 6-game sweep of the Tigers and the Red Sox probably to win the season. Like that's, and we've been saying this for a long time now. We're just here now, right? Got to start sweeping some people. You could get it. You could really do a great thing and sweep the Guardians. That would be a really, really impressive and would kind of, you know, also give you, if you can sweep them and then go into your off day with after that sweep, now you can load up, you get a day off, you can kind of load back up and go full tilt against Red Sox and Blue Jays, you get another off day, and then you can go full tilt again against the Tigers and Red Sox. So the opportunity is there. The Twins are not playing great baseball. They are known chokers. We know this about them. It is not possible. It is possible that they will choke. We just got to keep winning.
Of Minnesota. Yeah, we just got to keep winning. And I think we're running insanely long. So just know that if we are back next week and playoffs are still on, then I think we need to celebrate.
And we will. And we'd love to celebrate with you. And one way that you would know when the celebration time is if you did us a huge favor and followed the show on whatever platform you prefer. We appreciate all of you who have stuck with us to the end. If you're watching this back on the recording, thank you so much for that. Always feel free to drop us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. We love to talk with you guys to see what your opinions are and all the things we're saying. If you listen to our rundown of the 40 man and you think somebody that we thought should stay should be gone, or somebody that we thought should be gone should stay, let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys. And you know, we're gonna be here next week. We're gonna be here all the way through the end of the season and into the off season. And we just appreciate all of you who are here with us.
Yeah, Basabe enjoyers, rise up in the comments.
Tell us about it if you've got something to say.
All right. We're gonna love you and leave you. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, raise up.
Raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.